Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it to the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. I'm here with Jessica Singerman, who is a multidisciplinary artist as well as an outdoor athlete. And a lot of her work is really highly informed by that. She runs, she rides bikes, she loves to spend time out in nature with her friends. And really what the work is about is being able to connect with people in that slower space, as well as paying attention to the changing world around us and being able to learn how to take responsibility for those changes. So she's got some really good, important stuff going on with that work. And she just finished a big show that has been a culmination of her work for the last 10 to 20 years. And is not really quite sure what's next with her work. 2 years ago, she took a little bit of a break trying to sell her work full-time and took a adjunct college professor film class role. And I think I'm getting the sneaking feeling that she is trying to get a little bit back into that work selling. So I'm imagining we might talk about that a little bit. We're here. I'm happy to be here with you, Jessica. How are you?
I'm happy to be here with you too, Jessica. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
It's really nice to see you.
If you'd asked me yesterday, I would have been terrible. But today, okay, I'm great.
Good. It's been a while since we caught up.
You know, it has. It's been at least two years because when we were working together, I was at my other house and we've moved. So it's been way too long. Shame on us. So right before I stopped you to do the intro, you were starting to talk about how over the past couple of years, you haven't really focused on selling the work as much, still creating the work, of course. But I want to talk a little bit about just where you are at in this moment in time and where do we need to go? Maybe just getting some clarity, vision, something. Yeah. I don't know. Let's see where this goes. But tell me a little bit more about your situation.
I don't think it's good. That's one thing's for sure. It's not necessarily bad either. It's because
The intro, you were starting to talk about how over the past couple of years, you haven't really focused on selling the work as much, still creating the work, of course. But I want to talk a little bit about just where you are at in this moment in time and where do we need to go? Maybe just getting some clarity, vision, something. Yeah. I don't know. Let's see where this goes. But tell me a little bit more about your situation.
It's too faceted, and I'll see if I can actually keep my train of thought and remember. On the first side of things, I took on a full-time teaching position 2 years ago. And because I was making a good income, I think I just felt less pressure to sell my work, right? And I also had less time to devote to that side of things. And so I thought I'm just going to do kind of like the bare minimum to try to keep things going. I was hoping momentum would carry. Turns out doesn't really work like that. And so I went to like trying to post to social like once a week and sending emails like once a month. So I still sold some work, just not as consistently as before. But on the other side, I think because I didn't have the pressure to sell, I was able to give myself some grace, you know, creatively to experiment a lot and to learn new skills and do things that I'd wanted to do for a long time. I got some grants to be able to fund new work. And so that was really nice. And I would say I have spent probably about 2 years now, like trying things that I'd always wanted to do and didn't know how. And it's been really beneficial to my practice because I've, you know, been able to like hone skills that I felt I needed, that I wanted to work on and really grow my practice and be able to work in other media, you know, that either I had done as a hobby or that I had some interest in, and I've been able to incorporate that into my work, into my creative practice. So that's been good.
I think a lot of artists think if I go get another job or I don't make all my money from my art, that it's not as real, or I don't know what the word is, but we'll use real, as someone who isn't doing that. What would you say to
those people? Well, I think as I've gotten older now and just have had more exposure to other artists and to, and of course, more time practicing as an artist, you know, being an artist takes a lot of different forms. And there are some people who don't sell a lot of work, who are super productive still as far as artists. They're still making a lot of work. There are people with day jobs. There are people with family money who don't need day jobs. And then, like, it runs the gamut, you know. I don't think, none of it, I think as long as you're making your work, you're an artist, right? I think it depends how you feel about it. But yeah, I've gone through those too, you know. It definitely doesn't feel great to me not to sell my work, though, mainly because I don't like having a lot of work piling up in the studio. I don't like that it takes space. And it's really important to me that artwork be out in the world, you know, like not just be tucked away. Like, it needs to be lived with. Like, once I finish the work, that's like one part of the life of an artwork, and that's what I get from it. But then it needs to go out in the world so that it can provide for other people, right? Because, like, my side of the practice, and I don't even mean like sharing practice on social media, it's fine that you kind of like giving a view into what you're doing, but it's all really for you as an artist. And it's really when the work goes out into the world, whether like it's being exhibited or in someone's workspace or in their house, that's when it's like fulfilling its destiny, or it's bringing people joy or like wonder or meditation.
I like how you said, I think similarly, but you said it has a purpose for me, and the purpose is the creation of it and what I get from that process. And then it has this whole other life. Cool. So we have a job that seems very fulfilling, and you seem to really enjoy it from the little that you have expressed about it. We have been a practicing artist for many years now. What's next? It doesn't even have to be a big thing, but just like, what little change angle, is there any change in your future, or are you happy right where you're at?
Yeah. So, I mean, number one is I want to keep making my work. There's no problem there. I mean, I, of course, like after a big exhibit, like I had early this year, it's always kind of like fits and starts to figure out like what you're doing next. But I understand that that's part of the process. But I'm not satisfied with like the rate at which I've been selling work. I'm not represented by a gallery anymore these days. So it's really on me. And also any galleries that I do collaborate with, and you know, they sell the work when it's there, it's my responsibility ultimately. And I would like to be working on that aspect of things more. It is important to me to find a good balance, you know, and I keep coming back to like, there has to be something different or better than social media. It hasn't been satisfying, and I've found it very depleting, actually. But I do realize that it is an important tool, at least to be on it, even if that's not how you're necessarily bringing in potential buyers. I realize it's an important platform. Yeah, I would love to find better ways than that.
I have such mixed feelings about mixed media or social media, because it can be so good and it can be so draining and unfulfilling and give you nothing back. Like you were saying about artists, there's that whole wide spectrum. And to get to where it's really repaying you for your efforts, some people can get there quickly and other people can't, actually. Even the people I feel like my clients who have rather large followings, it does feel like it happens overnight. And I'm not taking responsibility for that, but it does feel like it happens overnight. But at the same time, there's 7 or 8 years of experience before that, before it happens overnight. And I don't know that it will ever happen overnight for most people. I don't know that. You have to gain a certain lots of certain skill sets in order for that to happen. The way that I really value social media, especially as far as artists are concerned, just speaking as a blanket statement, is for making those connections, building those relationships, having a place to reach out, follow up, and connect, and all of that. But when you're relying on it to bring in all your leads, that's when it just, until you hit that overnight success, can feel really right. frustrating. If I were to make almost any artist's business plan, social media would not be the visibility piece. It's still a yeah. piece most of the time, probably, but there needs to be other mm-hmm. pieces to help with that. So you said, I am doing social media once a week and I'm doing an email once a month and I have gallery shows here and there. If you were throwing everything out the window, let's say everything you've ever tried to do, put together, you're going to put in a big old pile and light a match and set it on fire, and then you have to rebuild, you still get to keep mm-hmm. the knowledge. Right, the lessons. What would you want to create in order to sell more work? Do you have any idea?
That's a hard question. I mean, I can't help but think back to like pre-social media, when if I had a show locally, I was out like putting signs all over the place in coffee shops. But I don't just show where I live now. I live in a medium-sized town. I don't know. That's a really hard question because I'm in a different phase.
It is.
You know, like when I was right out of grad school and my work wasn't as expensive and I was in a bigger, I was just outside of Philadelphia and then in Philly. I don't know. It's hard to say because my work is much more expensive now. So that's a limiting factor for a lot of people. And I would say, you know, lead generation is like probably the number one problem that I have. And I don't yeah. know. I really don't know, because I've done, you know, like networking type things, and those were not the right fit at all because people are looking for services. And I don't really, yes, I could make an argument that I provide a service, but it's not like I'm not a plumber or a realtor. And so those networking events were pretty disappointing.
Okay, let's ask it differently. The knowledge burned up in the pile too. So instead of asking how would you do it, let's ask if anything could work, what would you build?
So honestly, if it was totally different, I would prefer for someone else to sell my work. Like I wouldn't even have to do all that stuff. I know that I would still need to do some things as far, you know, that help sell my work. But the responsibility wouldn't be primarily on my shoulders. I would so prefer for other people to do that. And so I can focus on making the work. I mean, I feel like so many artists say that. It's not like anything new. But
no, it's not new at all. But I hear you. You want someone to do it for you. Okay.
You know, I feel like I'm limited in the people that I can meet who can afford my work to be able to build that mm-hmm. collector base. I do have friends who buy my work and who collect. Yeah, maybe I'm also impatient because I do make really good connections and people who are big fans of my work and who share it with other people and other organizations who are definitely allies. And I know that actually things move really slowly in the art world, and that someone who likes your work might not be able to either buy it or include it in an exhibit, you know, for years. I understand that. But yeah, having someone who has, I guess, access to people who can afford the work would be really nice.
Finding someone with access to people who can afford the work.
Yeah. I mean, I've had relationships with galleries. I've been represented, and it turned out I feel bad for saying this, but they weren't actively trying to sell work. And so that's not really helpful. it's nice to be able to have good spaces to show work and to be able to make like challenging work. But if I'm collaborating with a gallery, I would like there to be people who know how to sell work. And I have not collaborated with a gallery that knows how to do that yet. So it's been kind of disappointing.
Well, here's the thing about galleries, and there are some wonderful galleries out there and some that do a really great job and some that just want to have a pretty space to show artwork. When I'm thinking about my little ideal art buyer circle exercise, where there's three circles, they might connect with the work, they might connect with you, they might connect with the message behind it. The gallery really fits into that people who like how the work looks bubble. Like, they're not going to go out and find people who care about taking responsibility for the changes in the environment, connecting with people in that slower space. Like, yeah, they have a collector base, but it's just for people who visually like. And maybe they get lucky and someone connects with the work on a deeper level too, but that's not where they're looking. I think that's the big problem. So you would like to find someone with connections who can afford the work.
Yeah, and I feel like that sounds so crass, but that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Does that exist? I don't know. I think it exists. I have heard that this kind of person exists.
It's like the tooth fairy.
Wow, if it doesn't exist, that's actually kind of like helpful. It's just a pipe dream. I don't know. It feels like it kind of has to.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but I don't know them. I've never met them. I've never seen their website. I think where people normally go, because everyone wants what you, not everyone.
Yeah.
So many artists want what you want. I want someone to just sell my work for me and be able to sell it for the prices I want to sell it for. So they go to, well, what is the answer that I know for that? Well, it could be a gallery. It could be an interior designer. It could be someone who will sell my product designs, licensing. And I'm not really sure what other buckets there are there. You do licensing. You do galleries.
And I do direct sales. I have connected with multiple interior designers, some of whom have bought work for clients. Yeah.
So of those, let's pretend just for a minute that there is not an option for. It's one of those three. Which one do you feel like has given you the most success?
Selling in person, 100%. I've made way more sales directly with people. Wait, was that not one of the options?
Which is the thing you don't want.
Yeah. But when it works, it's great. I would say, you know, most of the time, if someone wants to see a piece and they're coming to the studio to see it, they'll buy it most of the time. I've just had more success rather than galleries selling my work.
Okay. So you have gone that direction because that has been the thing that has given you the most success. Do you enjoy that process when it is working?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, when someone expresses interest or just buys a painting, you know, off the website, which happens occasionally, someone even I don't know, it feels great. It just feels, you know, like I know the work is going to a home. Like, there's no better feeling. It's the process of generating leads. That's the thing that I'm like fully stumped, you know, and I'm fine socially and meeting people, but like I do find it quite awkward to be like, I'm an artist, you should buy my painting. I know that's like obviously not how it goes, but I think some people are really good and natural at selling, and I don't feel like I have that skill set, or maybe I'm just not comfortable with it.
It actually feels the opposite to me. It feels like you are a good salesperson once they have expressed interest.
That's not an issue. It's the getting the people
them in the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am actually a good salesperson. I used to sell bikes. I was quite good.
I also feel like you believe in the work. So let's do a comparison here. Let's pretend you are not an art salesperson. You are a bike salesperson. Would you ever tell people to come see you in the bike store and you would help them pick out a bike? Or would you just wait till they walked in the door?
So working in the bike shop, people were just coming in. It's not like I owned the bike store and needed to get people in there. And so I think that's the hard part as far as selling my own work is I have to get people in the door. I mean, I sold clothing at one point and I remember I didn't generate leads for that store, just talking to my friends.
Okay. How'd you do that?
I mean, it was natural. It was part of the conversation. So yeah, it was like a athletic clothing store, a well-known place. And people in my running club, we would be talking and they might say, oh, I like the shorts you're wearing. And I could say, you should come by the store and try some on, or like a sports bra. Like someone might say, I really need a new sports bra. And I would just say, come and I'll help you find one that works. And then it's just a matter of asking a lot of questions when they're there.
Right.
Like, I don't like telling people what to do. I'm more just asking them.
In both of those scenarios, though, they're showing interest at the point that you got to them. Okay.
So to be fair, this has also happened with artwork. You know, we'll be in conversation. Someone will say something that feels like a good opening for me to say, oh, you know, I do that kind of work. You should come by. But I have to say, like, most people or who will compliment work that they see on social media, and I'll message them and their friends. I already know them. And I'll say, hey, you can come by anytime. Pretty much no one ever takes me up on that to come to the studio.
Okay. So let me ask you one more question, and then we'll figure out where the heck we're going here. If you did know how to create leads, would you want to sell the work? Or in this dream scenario that we are making up here, do you still want someone else to do that work?
I guess I could go either way, but I think if I'm really honest with myself, I would rather be working with someone. I would like to have a team, basically. I mean, ideally, in my dream world, I'm making enough work and on a scale where I have a studio assistant and who helps with like shipping and delivering and all that stuff. And then I have someone who works on like running the business side and who's doing all of the sales stuff. And then I can work on everything else. I mean, that would be my dream scenario. Okay. It just does feel like I have to work up to the point where, like, I would want to be able to pay them fairly, like a good wage, and like have a team of people, like a little team that, like, we work well together and we want to work together for a long time.
Okay. So it actually sounds like perfect scenario is you build your own team.
That would be ideal. Yeah. I love the idea of like,
Someone,
I mean, my studio is in the house and we have workspace. I love the idea of if it were here, I have like maybe one person to start who shows up most days and we collaborate and they help me in the studio and they sell. And eventually we grow to the point where I need to bring in someone to run the business. Maybe eventually we have to move out of the house and I have to rent a bigger studio/workspace. I would love that. You know, like I don't need to be alone all the time in my studio.
Don't want to be alone all the time, as it sounds like. So, okay. In this scenario, this new scenario that we have just discovered, maybe you already kind of knew it, but we're pulling it out now. Most people, when they think about hiring someone, start with, okay, what task could I take off my plate? And that's a perfectly reasonable place to start. But if I were to say, Jessica, here's what I would do. I would say my first hire would be someone who is going to help me generate income. So instead of studio assistant or package packer or website picture uploader, like those are all the things that we think about first. But who could help you find and create leads would be your first hire. Because then you're not working up to how do I pay them fairly. They're creating or helping to create. It might start slower and grow, but they're helping create their paycheck.
Totally. That makes sense.
One thing that I really like to do when I start working with someone, besides really clearly defining the role, is thinking about what processes can they do over and over. So instead of giving them so many different ideas or tasks, you would say, I want someone to help me generate leads for my art business. And then together, what's the best way to do this? I use the ideal art buyer circle for everything. Using this ideal art buyer circle, where are these leads and how do we want to find them, contact them, reach out to them, get in their circles? How are you and I together going to make this happen? Brainstorm how to make this happen. And then you're going to go do the processes that we create.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming. I feel like because I had such a hard time trying to figure out how to hire the last time, and it was such a smaller role. And the person we're talking about now is someone who would need to have actual sales and marketing experience. And so it's a little daunting. I feel like lead generation for what's ultimately a luxury good can be tricky.
I don't know that it's so much that they have to have sales and marketing experience. Of course, that would be helpful. But the more experience they have, the more you're going to pay. The thing that I would really focus on is helping them understand your work and who you are and why people connect with it. And the deeper understanding they have of that, the easier it is for them to be like, oh, I got these shorts at this store over here. Mm-hmm. You should go see it. But the step before that is, where are we going to find these people and how are we going to contact them? And then creating a process around that. You did say, this is something I want. What's your timeline?
I don't know. I mean, as soon as possible.
Apply pressure.
As soon as possible. I mean, I know that's not realistic if I started to work with someone or brought someone in, but I don't know what a realistic timeline is either. I do know having a full painting rack does hinder my work because it's hard for me to make more work when I have some here. So that's like a very real feeling that I have when work is not going out the door. It actually affects my work process or creation process.
I get that. And I'll throw another thought process at you that hopefully you can adopt. The more work you have, the more opportunities you have to sell and show.
Yes.
I run across artists all the time who want XYZ, but they don't have work to go to X, Y, and Z. And so they have to now go build up all this work in order to start trying to get the things that they want. Having a lot of work is a huge asset.
Thank you. For me, that's like, it's not the easy part, but it is. It's like the making of is like, that's why I got into this, is because I wanted to make my work. If I could have things the way I want them to be, but I think like every artist wants this, is like virtually empty painting rack. And I'm making work and it's going out the window, or there's like a waiting list for my work, you know?
Yeah. I make painting, it's gone. Painting, it's gone. There's no wrap.
Except for the paintings that have to like accumulate for like a show, for an exhibit, you know?
Okay. So I'm asking it again. In Jessica's perfect world, yes, you have to figure out how to do it, but when are you going to, let's call it, start looking for someone to help generate leads?
I mean, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility right now. Right now, I'm operating under the idea that I need to be doing this on my own and at least like get some momentum again selling to get to the point where I feel okay about spending the money on someone. I don't know if that's the right way to think about it, but I figured you were going to say that. But I am a little lost in the weeds as far as like how to hire someone. I really don't really know where to start, other than writing out the exact tasks that I need done. I would hope that the person I hire is able to take initiative and bring to the table things that I don't know, because clearly, like, I'm missing some big pieces of the pie. Like, I don't know what to do to generate these leads anymore. And so it would be really great to hire someone.
That's a major problem.
So I would like to hire someone who knows how to do it.
What if that problem was fixed?
Amazing.
Okay.
Huge load off my shoulders.
It would be a huge load off your shoulders. Your work would probably actually start moving.
Yeah, it would feel amazing.
What would that be worth to you? Would that be worth the risk of trying to find and hire someone and probably upfront some of that?
Yeah. Yeah. But I know there's no guarantee. Like, you don't know if someone's going to work. You don't know if and when they're going to be able to sell work. But if someone could, like, literally guarantee that they're able to sell work, yeah, I would be able to front money.
What about a trial period or an application task? Like, they have to complete a certain task in order to move down the hiring process, such as, here is what my work is about. What would you do? Like, let them brainstorm some of the work. What would you do to find some of these leads if you got to pick how you did it? Or where are five places that you would start with? Or, you know, something along those lines where you're giving them some agency and letting them show you how their brain works.
Like, as part of an interview process, I would ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a good, of course, that totally makes sense.
And it doesn't even have to be during the interview. Like, some people take time to process, but, like, get all your applications and then say step two is we'll select however many. And then step two is you'll complete this task and the best three I'll interview. And then on top of that, what if part of their pay was commission-based?
That's how I intended. That's how I saw it, that there would need to be some pay, because I don't think it's fair for all their pay to be commission-based. And then, yeah, commission to make it feel worthwhile to them.
I agree with you. I think that there should be some baseline as well. But I like commission because it creates more agency for them to say, well, how could I make more money? And then they are ultimately going to get to use their brain power and be happier than if it's just, okay, well, I need to clock my 10 hours this week. And
well, so what do you think is a good base pay for someone in this role?
It's funny that you asked that, because I've been thinking about
it. And I know that could be geographically dependent. Like, you live in Colorado, it's way more expensive to live there than where I live in North Carolina.
Yeah. So I was doing some research earlier. Why I was doing that, we can talk about another time. But, like, what do talent agents, like, for actors, what is their commission pay like? And when I was looking at that, it was somewhere in the 10 to 20% range, which felt really low to me.
I guess it depends on how much we're getting paid.
Compared to.
Yeah.
Right. That too. But compared to then art galleries, which, yes, they have the space up front, but so would an agent. They would still have to have their own staff, their own. So, like, there's costs for both of those. But galleries get 50%. Acting agents get 10%. So I would say somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
The more commission you're willing to give them, the harder they're going to work for you.
And then as far as, like, a base pay, what do you think?
I don't know, honestly.
I guess, I mean, I don't really exactly know what the name of the role is, because then I can research.
You make the role. You write it. Art lead generation and describe the art.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give people an idea. I will say the place where I hire from, the minimum hourly is $25 an hour. But they don't work on commission.
Yeah.
I think as a range, it goes from about $25 40 in that space. And then the longer you work with them, you know, they increase their rates. But you're not hiring a VA. You're hiring a salesperson to be a part of your team on a part-time basis, really. So I don't know. I would maybe say, what if you didn't pay them hourly? How else could this work?
I mean, if it was eventually, if they were full-time, they would get a salary. I mean, ideally, they're full-time.
Yeah.
Like I'm making and selling enough work that they're full-time and I give them like health insurance. Like that's what I would want for the job. I want to be a good employer.
So what if it was not hourly based? It's not salary. It's this is the baseline you get per month. You're expected to X, Y, Z. And anything you sell increases your income because it's commission based. Let's make up some numbers here. I'm going to pay you $500 a month. You're expected to contact at least 30 places, people, something per month. Obviously, you can do more than that because the more you do, the more you're going to make based on commission. But at a minimum, you have to do this much. I just made all this up. I kind of like
it. Yeah, no, that's good. It's nice to see that this can be very clear cut, and I tend to overcomplicate things. So this is helpful. So thank you.
Someone who has more experience, probably 500 is not going to cut it, but it's a starting place. Also, let's add this in there. Trial period for both of you. 30 days, 90 days. You could do a 30-day trial period. And then at the end, both of you say, yes, I want to continue. And then at 90 days, it could be based off of certain performance metrics or something like that.
Yeah.
I think I want to make a digital course about hiring.
Yeah. I mean, at least this gives me, I ride bikes with people, I think, who know people who could possibly do this or who could be a good fit. And so I can start having conversations around this. I'm more comfortable talking about this than I am trying to sell my work.
Because you're solving the problem another way.
Right.
That's why it's okay.
Yeah.
And you've already got a process for selling the work once the people say I'm interested and come in the door that is working pretty well. So seems like it could be a really good move for you.
You are correct, like most of the time.
Okay. All right. So I think we should wrap up. What's your takeaways?
I actually have some action items. Like I am going to be talking to people, letting people know I'm looking to hire a salesperson. I can get leads for that. Start reaching out and then figure out if I need to do like a call and have people start sending me resumes or whatever it is, or start having conversations with people. This is super helpful. Thank you.
Good. Don't hire the person who says I'm going to create leads by posting on your social media.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that now. It'd be nice to have someone who can think out of the box. But what I've also found, you know this too, is like doing this work, I have a feeling will end up generating sales as well of my artwork because it opens up conversations. And I feel like any work that I've ever done that's like having to do with like getting the work out in the world leads to surprising things always. Yeah, I think it's energetically. It's like when you're trying to sell the work, even if it's like this is tangential stuff, like I'm trying to hire someone to sell the work, but like it's still, I'm putting it out in the universe that like, hello, I'm trying to sell work here.
This is beautiful. I'm excited for you. So where should people go see your work?
Thank you. People can see my work on my website, which is just my name. So it's jessicasingerman.com. And if people are into Instagram and Facebook, I'm also on there at Jessica Singerman Fine Art.
Sounds good. Bye.
All right, cool.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't yet, be sure to hit subscribe so that you can get new episodes loaded straight onto your phone as soon as they're ready. And as an added bonus, when you subscribe, it helps other artists find this advice so we can learn how to make our art more valuable as a community. What could be better than that? And be sure to say hello and let me know you've been listening over on Instagram. My handle is @artistmarketco. I would love to hear from you.